Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 26. We'll just look at this passage. Verse 23, talking about the rich young ruler who came to the Lord. Then said Jesus unto disciples, verse 23, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit an everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Not necessarily going to preach on this passage, but just a truth that's in this passage of Scripture. As the disciples came to realize how difficult it was to see a rich man come to repentance, as he had all this false security in his wealth and this comfort, false comfort in riches, and deceptive, shallow satisfaction with life in things. And the thought of forsaking that and coming to Jesus Christ was a very powerful, spiritually powerful negative influence in his life, and characterizes rich people all over the world, really, and all over time. And, of course, the Lord said in verse 26, with men this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. What do we do when we come to an impossible situation? What's the first thing that you do? Well, many times our first response, especially if it has anything to do with God, it's to quit, give up, lose faith. That's probably the easiest response. The psalmist said, wish I had wings like a dove and I'd fly away. It'd be all over. But in this, it's discouragement, that could be a typical response to the impossible. Sometimes paralysis, people just decide to do nothing, and they don't know what to do, and so they don't do anything. Some people even just go backwards. They just lose hope and they just do, sinful things. All those things are human responses. Just the flesh is so amazingly weak, The person who's trying to get their budget in line. And it gets tough after a while because they're used to, spending. and, you know, just throwing away money. They like going to Walmart and buying stuff, you know, and so, you know, they're trying to get their budget back together and their life back together financially. And, you know, it's getting painful. You know, they haven't been able to spend much money lately. And it's really painful. And so, just to relieve the pain, they go out and spend some money. And they wreck the budget. And they just wreck everything they've been trying to do. And, you know, the flesh is really very, very weak. And it's really difficult for the flesh to face difficulty. But here we find a spiritual difficulty. The impossible. And most everybody has something in their life that's impossible. You know, it's something that just seems beyond their reach spiritually. But as we want to be encouraged tonight by the impossible. Because as I think of this principle of the impossible, I begin to realize that the Bible is teaching us that the impossible really is the realm of God. That's the realm in which God works. And it's the realm that man can't do it. And so there's really only one option. Only God can do it. As we think about that simple principle, nothing is too hard for the Lord. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now, why do we shy away from the impossible? Because we can't do it. We can't figure it out. There's no way that humanly that it can be done. And yet, really, the impossible is really the realm that we ought to be drawn to, because that's the realm in which is truly all of God. The impossible. We can't do it. We can't figure it out. But it's the realm in which God, might say, does best. As we think of many cases in the Bible, I think in Numbers 13, Numbers 14, the people of Israel being faced with going into the promised land. They're faced with giants, the sons of Anak, pretty big people. And, you know, Jews aren't typically tall. They're typically short. And so giants are bigger to short people. Josiah. Okay. And not only were they giants, but many of the cities were on mountains. And, when I was in grade school, we were allowed to play King on the Hill. And that you had a big snow pile, and the object was to get to the top. Well, if you got to the top, it was easy to push the other ones off, you know. And so King of the Hill, can't play those games anymore. But, you know, that's the way it was for Israel. The mountains, the cities were on mountains. You know, throw a rock over the side of the hill and pretty tough to go against it. And they were military experts, and you could just go on. And the Israelites were kind of what you'd call sitting ducks. They had their families and they had their children, and this was going to be impossible. But it was God's will. But it was God's will. It was God's will to go into the promised land. But because it seemed impossible, they wanted to quit, and they chose to quit. They chose to turn their back because in their mind it was impossible. You know, we're faced with really the issues of the hour in one sense of the way a word are really impossible. As we think of reaching the world for Jesus Christ, humanly, certainly it is impossible. You know, some people, because the job is so impossible, their way to do it is cut the corners. You know, cut the corners, take the edges off the Bible, compromise. And they supposedly will make a greater progress, only temporary, only surface, in the surface manner, but they'll really not accomplish anything long term. Because it's impossible. But this is the realm in which God works. Sammy Tippett tells a story of how he went to East Berlin. And he wanted to meet some believers behind the Iron Curtain. And he happened to meet a pastor. And this pastor had been jailed under Hitler. And the communists came in, and he lost his ability to be a pastor because he refused to tell the people that communism would usher in a utopia. And so he was one of those few that wouldn't go along with the crowd, and recognize these wouldn't necessarily be our viewpoint in a lot of areas, but this pastor said to Sammy Tippett, you know, next year, and this is in the early 80s or late 70s, next year there will be thousands and thousands and thousands of young people from all over the world right here in East Berlin for the Communist Youth Conference. And you need to come here and preach the gospel to them. You need to come here and preach the gospel to them. And Sammy Tippett's first response was, impossible! Impossible! And of course, the story is, that this pastor wouldn't accept his answer and said, you will be here and you need to be here. And Sammy Tippett and two of his friends decided, by faith, went to the Communist Youth Conference. And they didn't know how they were going to preach. They didn't, but they were there. And people noticed that their German was kind of with a southern accent. I don't know what that sounds like, but they could tell that they weren't, they were from America. And even in that crowd, those signatures of people from America was pretty important, you know. And all of these young people had some kind of a handkerchief or on their sleeves, and they would get as many signatures from as many people as possible. You know, kind of like at the youth camp out, you know, everybody signs the youth camp out church, you know. That's kind of new. I mean, I never thought of doing that when I was a kid, you know. But that's the way people are today. And so everybody wanted their signature. And he got together with his two friends. I'll tell you what, he said, you write in German the first part of the gospel, and you write the second part of the gospel and the Bible verses, and then I'll write the third part of the gospel and give them a brief explanation how they can trust Christ as their Savior. And so that day, they signed a couple hundred or more of these handkerchiefs, and people would start reading that, and they would come to them and ask them about what this was that they were talking about, and about Jesus Christ, and about salvation. And to make a long story short, over that conference, about 200 of those communists got saved. And they began, the leaders began to notice what was taking place. And they sent 1,000 young people to kind of stop them. And the result was, it looked like there was 1,200 of them. And to make a long story short, so the whole crowd rushes after them to kind of, protest. And Sammy Tippett gets up and he preaches to thousands. Now, much of life, really, spiritually, is about the impossible. It's not what we can do. It's what God says we're supposed to do. It's what God's will is. It's God's command for our life. We shy away from it because we can't do it. We run from it. We make some kind of excuse. Maybe we respond really carnally and we just quit. Maybe we just start living a life of sin. And it's real because we have refused to go into the realm of the impossible. You think about that's the common response, isn't it? You know, if you'd think to talk to somebody about that really isn't spiritually minded, you talk to them about tithing. What are they going to say? I mean, if the word went out that the average person in this church tithes, they give 10%, and many people give far more than 10% or 20% of their income to the Lord, people say, impossible! I could never do it! No way! Wouldn't that be the response of people? Impossible. Why? Because that's the realm of God. But those who've been tithing, you know, it's kind of like, no big deal. You know, you just tithe and God makes what's left over stretch a lot longer, a lot further. And it's as though you never really missed it. Why? Because you're in the realm of God's realm. You're in the realm of which God does things. And so, as we see this principle, first of all, I want to see that the realm of the impossible is the realm in which God works. It's the realm in which God works. And you know, if you and I want to need God, and if we want to see God work, we cannot shy away from the impossible. Whether it's in our prayers, whether it is in our responsibilities, whether it is in our obedience to God, we cannot shy away from the impossible. Because that's the realm of God. And that's the realm in which we will experience the God of heaven working. And we shared this in Sunday school last week. Oh, the people were so afraid of the impossible. And they were so fearful if they would go into the promised land and battle these armies, that their wives and their children would be killed and all these terrible things. And yet we know that when they were in the will of God, there was not one Israelite that was ever killed in battle except when the people were in disobedience at Ai. So we ought not to be afraid of the impossible. Secondly, in the realm of the impossible, man's greatest asset is availability. Man's greatest asset is to be available. Be willing to be used of God. Be surrendered to God. Be willing to put yourself at God's disposal to do the impossible. Availability. You know, the people of Israel failed because they wouldn't make themselves available. They wouldn't make themselves available. They wouldn't say, okay, Lord, we're here. How about it, young person? Are you available to God? Are you available? You know, God can't work if you're not available. You say no to God. No, I don't want to serve you. I don't want to do your work. You know, you just lost the blessing in the realm of God working because, well, maybe in your mind you say it's impossible. That's where God works. The impossible. And so the key there is availability. Anybody here an introvert? A real good introvert? Make yourself available to God. To talk for Him. And you will see an introvert speaking boldly for Jesus Christ. Why? Availability. Availability. You know, I wonder how many times people's lives are characterized by no, not me. You know what? It really isn't self-protection, it's self-destruction. It's not self-protection, it's self-destruction. We're hindering the work, the impossible work that God wants to do in our life. Available. Surrender to the will of God. You know, God appeared to Moses and said, I want you to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. He said, can't be done. Oh yeah, it can be done. He said, he can't use me. I want you. Availability. And of course, the other key in the impossible is faith. Obviously, the great illustration of faith in a God who does the impossible is described in Romans. Chapter 4. Abraham was 100 years old. 99, I think, at the time of this. Sarah was 90 years old. It was impossible physically for them to have any children. And God appeared to them and said, you know what? 9 months from now, Sarah is going to have a child. And what did Sarah do? Laugh. But when it finally came down to it, what does the Bible say? They had faith. Verse 18. When against hope, he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, nor yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, that God, had promised, he was able also to perform. You know, the word faith, actually the root word of faith is the word to be persuaded. And here we find that those very words used, that Abraham was persuaded that what God has promised, he was able also to do. And in many cases, we see that great principle. Jeremiah addresses the Lord. Lord, you made heaven and earth. There's nothing too hard for you. Staggered not at the promise because of unbelief, but was persuaded that what God said he was also able to do. Really, it has to do with faith in God's ability. It has to do with faith in what God can do. Obviously, when Abraham had a promise of God here, this was exactly right in the line where he could trust God to do the impossible. But remember, really, the impossible in our human eyes is always that which is in God's realm and which only God can do. It takes faith. And you know, faith is, in our mind, the facts is, that's only the beginning. The real aspect of faith is risk. That's the real aspect of faith. Risk. Putting ourselves in a place in which we are willing to risk whatever it is. A lot of times it's risking our pride. Sometimes it's risking our time. Sometimes it's risking our future. Sometimes it's risking our money. You know, it's going to cost us something to have faith. You know, we can be real pious and say no to God. But the reality is, you know, we're like the rich young ruler. We don't want to risk our comfort. You know, we don't want to risk our time. We don't want to risk the security of whatever. We don't want to risk our pride. But really, faith is not only being persuaded that what God says he's also able to do, it's the willingness to put ourselves in a place where we are put at risk. I think that's pretty evident with Abraham. Well, no way we can have a child. And so, to come to the conclusion that God is going to give you a child, and there's no way that it can happen, what are you risking? You're risking a lot of pride, aren't you? You're risking really your whole life. I'm gonna believe God? When it can't happen? Faith in God's ability. And many times that lack of faith, that lack of willing to risk our lives and ourselves is what keeps us from putting ourselves in the place where God can work. You know, thinking of the illustration, think of these young men who went to the Communist Youth League. You know, they had to risk something. Well, I think they probably had to buy some plane tickets. And they had to risk their life because they could have easily been arrested. They could easily been thrown in jail. They could easily have been exterminated. There's a risk there. There was a reality of their faith that was real, that would hinder them from trusting God. And yet real faith is willing to risk our life for God. And you know, there's simple things. When's the last time you and I witnessed to someone? I mean, we really witnessed to someone. Oh, boy. It won't work. That's right, won't work. Oh, no, they won't be interested. No, they won't. You know what? They're going to make a fool out of me. You know, all the things that we give excuses so that we do not give ourselves to the place where only God can do it. As we think of the impossible, we think of some specific actions. Sometimes it's going. Sometimes it's risking something. You know, what do you think about those priests? When they got to the Jordan River, do you think that maybe in their mind they thought, okay, they say that we're supposed to march through this river. You think they ever thought that, well, what if it doesn't part? You know, what if I put my foot in there and it doesn't part? I mean, none of us would be that unspiritual, would we? But you know, they couldn't see the water parted until they stepped in it, could they? They couldn't see it. They had to act. They had to do something. And it's amazing how that calculation of unbelief will keep us from doing the impossible for God. In Matthew, as well as in Mark, it talks about the young man, Matthew 17, who was demon-possessed. And Jesus came down to the Mount of Transfiguration. Disciples weren't able to cast out this demon. And the Lord, after he cast out the demon, and they asked him, why couldn't we do this? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Verse 20, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, let me ask a question. Is that very much faith? I don't think that's a lot of faith, is it? Kind of like the man who said, Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. You know, there's another action that goes along with entering into God's realm, into the realm of the impossible. And in this case, it was prayer. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You know, one of the clearest signs that we aren't entering into God's realm, the realm of the impossible, the realm in which we can't do it, the clearest sign that we aren't living that way or thinking that way is prayerlessness. Prayer and prayerfulness is really one of the clear indications that we need God and we are committed to God and we are going to trust God. We are going to obey God, and we know that what we need to do for God, we can't do it. But God can do it. Pretty good indication of where we are spiritually, isn't it? You know, as humans, the situation that we are in many times is the whole reality of the spirit of prayer or the lack of the spirit of prayer. You know, I think of Jacob as he was coming back to the land from Padan Aram, and he got word that Esau knew that he was coming, and Esau was—he was told that Esau was coming with 400 men. Wow! You know what happened? Jacob got the spirit of prayer real fast, didn't he? I mean, there were some intense need of God in his soul. And of course, that's when he met the Lord. But, you know, the need. And really, if we're not attempting the impossible, if we're not available for the impossible, if we are not entering into God's realm in which only he can do it, we don't need to pray. Why would we pray? We don't need to pray. We can do it in our own strength. We aren't doing anything. That's why we don't need to pray. But when we give ourselves to God, then we can pray. Cast our dependence upon him. Ask him to do what only he can do. And certainly, that is the realm of those who are entered into the realm of the impossible. I think of the third action of those who are entered into the realm of the impossible, and that is the realm of endurance. Endurance. Hebrews 12 tells us about running the race. Run with patience. The race that is set before us. Now, of course, the word patience is really speaking of the word endurance. And the patience of a runner is the ability to endure pain. That's really what it is. The ability to endure pain. That's what it takes to win the race. Pain. You know, it looks so good, but I tell you what, it's pain. That's what it is. That's what it takes to win a race. Pain. The ability to endure. You know, I think the greatest example of that is Adoniram Judson. He certainly attempted the impossible. William Carey attempted the impossible. And they won the race because they endured. Think of Adoniram Judson 7 years before he had one person saved. One person. 7 years. Let me ask you a question. Does that take a lot of faith to keep going? Does that take faith believing in God to keep going? Yeah, it does. It does. It takes a lot of faith. I tell you what. It takes faith to stay faithful. It takes more faith to stay faithful for 20 years than it takes the faith to stay faithful for 5 years. Endurance is a real part of faith and trusting God for the impossible. Well, simple truth. What realm of God's will have you considered to be impossible? What realm of doing God, what God wants you to do, have you considered to be impossible? And you've been overwhelmed by that such a degree that you don't even do anything. Giving up. Maybe it was, got discouraged, quit. But you know, we need to get a new vision for our life. I love the new year. Because it's always a great time to us to refocus our life and stop it from running away from us and losing it. Capturing the time, capturing our life. Are you coasting? Are you going backwards? Or is God trying to stir your heart tonight to trust Him for the impossible? Make something out of your life, not you, but let God, by being available to the Lord, saying, Lord, I'm available. Now, what happened if all these people here, if we really meant that? I realize that the problem is we can just be good intenders and we just, that satisfies our conscience a little bit and then we're okay and then we can go on with life. But I mean, the fact is, I mean, what would happen if we really said, God, I'm available tomorrow or maybe tonight? Or what of that great challenge of your life to trust God? Maybe you're, as a parent, you need to trust God for great things instead of quitting. You need to climb a ladder for God. And you need to have faith. You need to trust God for the impossible. You know, really, if we want God to work in our lives, we have to be willing to trust Him for the impossible. And there's so many different realms. I'm not going to preach on all those different realms. I'm trusting that somehow that you're listening to the Spirit of God tonight. And if you are, the Spirit of God is very easy for Him to speak to your heart and show you that. And put that upon your heart. I don't have to preach on it. The impossible is a realm in which God works. And rather than facing this year defeated, giving up, saying it never will happen, we need to realize that all of those are human, many times carnal, many times unbelieving responses that is denying God's will to be done in our life. Nothing is impossible with God. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I'm not sure what you're trying to do in our hearts. I know that you're trying to do something in my heart. I'm not exactly sure what it is, Lord. But I know you're trying to do something in my heart. And I realize that, Lord, it is a general disease of us all, spiritual disease of us all, not to trust you for great things. Being afraid to do your will. Lacking faith to trust you, for we know what you want to do. And Lord, I'm sure that there's many, many people here tonight who they're facing really a spiritually impossible situation in their life. Maybe it's a child and their spiritual soul situation is, seems impossible that it would ever change. Maybe it's an area of their own life. Maybe it's in obedience to Christ. Maybe it's really being used of you in whatever it is that you want to do in their life. And so, Lord, may you challenge us tonight with your Holy Spirit. We can just give this to you tonight, Lord, that you might work individually in hearts and lives. And so by your grace, through your Spirit, Lord, do a work in different lives, where they will not be afraid to trust you. They'll not be afraid to surrender. They'll not, Lord, be held captive. By different things in their life. So give grace and victory tonight, I pray. While our heads are bowed and eyes closed, the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight. And the Lord is bringing you to a place of being willing to trust God for the impossible. That has many faces. We've already talked about that. Risk. Prayer, going, enduring, being available. But tonight, you've come tonight in such a state that the Spirit of God is working in your heart. And I'm sure He was probably trying to work before He even came tonight. This just kind of is another notch in that. You say, Pastor, God has spoken my heart. I know that He is trying to do something in my life. And I need to surrender. I need to say yes. I need to trust Him. I need to go forward in a great way in my life. And you say, by an uplifted hand, I know God speaking to my heart. And I know that He's put His hand upon my life. And I, just by an uplifted hand, I'm saying yes to the Lord. I'm saying yes to the Lord. Anyone here tonight? Many different hands. God is speaking to your heart. Definite transaction to say yes to the Lord. It's a risk. We don't like it. But that's a part of that whole process of faith. Anyone else, God is speaking to your life, to your heart. Will you say yes to the Lord? That's the place where you'll find God can do great things. Anyone else, God is speaking to your heart. Okay, I see that little hand. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you how you can encourage your people and how you can trust us to go forward. You can cause us to trust you to go forward. And Lord, we pray that now you'll help your people to, in very real and practical ways, to do your will. And Lord, we pray you be glorified in each and every decision, each and every life. Lead us in your path, Lord. Do what only you can do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.